Thank you for listening to the Calvin Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Van Bibber. In this week's message titled, God's Gift to the Magi, Pastor Dave preaches from chapter 2 in the book of Matthew. We hope you will enjoy Pastor Dave's message, and we hope you will have a Merry Christmas.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. He said to them, In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what was written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, of the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. When Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him. After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them, until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Let's pray. Lord, we delight in your word. Lord, we celebrate the blessing it is to hear your word proclaimed. God, we thank you that today, once again, we can share this story. We can let your word tell the story. God, we thank you for those who have influenced our faith. We thank you for those who have shared the good news to us. Lord, I pray that you will use me during this time. I pray that you empower me with the Holy Spirit so that I might speak truth and proclaim what it is you have for us today. I thank you for our church. I thank you for the members here. God, I thank you for those who are not even present today. God, I thank you for those in the past who have spent time, Lord, investing in the lives of others. I pray, Lord, that you will be glorified through the proclamation of your word. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. If you noticed from our program, it was very dense with Scripture. I wanted to make sure that as we talked about the story of Jesus Christ, that we were well acquainted with how Scripture parallels and hinges itself upon this. The paradox of a king's birth being proclaimed first to outcasts. But it goes back farther than that as we look at the story of the prophets, how they were able to point to what was coming. And now we pause and we look at the story of the Magi. There's a few things that I think are really imperative that we point out. One thing that we all probably know, every time we look at a nativity scene and we see the kings showing up at the same time as the shepherds, that's not scriptural. Right? But what is scriptural is that there was a group of folks that knew of this Savior. And isn't it interesting how God uses different tools to proclaim the birth of Christ to different people? One thing that we know from A.T. Robertson's commentary is that these Magi, which most likely came from Babylon or somewhere else, had noticed a star. They were astrologers. They were pagans. They were lost folks. And they looked in the sky and they were able to see, just as it tells us in Psalms chapter 14, that the heavens declare the glory of God. And these lost men went to where they thought a king should be. And they went to another lost man looking for it. When I look at the story of the Magi, I see something that is incredibly important. Folks, there are many lost people in many lost cultures, but they are looking. And they have great gifts to bring to the kingdom. Do you see it there in the text? Do you see these men? They are looking for a Savior. They have something to contribute to the kingdom. And in their lostness, they're still able to identify a Savior. Now, of course, when we look at the text, we also know that they go right into Jerusalem. And they ask the king. Now, what we also want to understand from the text is Herod was many times called Herod the Great. He had ruthlessly murdered one of his wives, two of his sons, one of his cousins. He was a bad, stinking dude. And historically, when someone would look up in the sky, when astrologers would look up in the sky, particularly those in the east, and they would see some strange constellation, frequently people who were learned at the time would use that as a sign. Oh, there's going to be a change in rulers. And when these lost men show up to Herod, and it says that all of Judea was troubled, it was because Herod was a pretty erratic guy. And isn't it interesting? The lost are seeking in this scripture, but those who are familiar when they call the scribes and Pharisees, they know exactly what this constellation, what this appearing of the star is signifying. Turn with me to Micah chapter 5 in the Old Testament. This is right where those folks, right where the scribes and Pharisees turned. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judea, from you will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Folks, the religious folks knew what was true. The people who were supposed to be the experts in knowing of the Messiah knew, but they weren't searching. What a sad time it is. When we look at Matthew's story of the Nativity, we see something really interesting. When you look at Luke, as Elena, thank you so much for reading that. I asked her this morning, and she did well, right, didn't she? She read that whole nice narrative, and boy, as she tells the story from Scripture, if you're like me, you can see it play out again. In Luke's story, he shows that they were the outcasts that were called, the outcasts that were made known. But Matthew shows us something different here. You see, Jesus is the shepherd of all. Those who are Jews, those who are Gentiles. When I look at this story, I can see that God calls folks from far away. God is looking to bring more in. And through the proclamation of Jesus and the way that God uses even things in the lost world, it serves as an example for me. There are lost that are looking. Am I trying to find and locate those same symbols that might be drawing them to Christ so that I might point them to that direction? One thing we need to also recognize about these men is they came from a very long ways. And it tells me that to follow Christ, to truly seek Christ, to truly be in line with His plan, it's going to require sacrifice. when I read the InterVarsity Press commentary, we always think of it being, whew, that was a little scary there. We always think of there being just three kings. Folks, these guys, however many there were, had a huge caravan. It was something that couldn't be missed. In fact, they created quite a stir because there were so many. It was costly for them to seek Christ. Is it costly for us? Because if it's not costly for us, then I don't think we're doing something right. They were inconvenienced in their search after Christ. Are we inconvenienced in the way we seek Christ? And it was costly for them. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. What many biblical scholars will tell us is, we know they came from the east because those were all the major things that they would trade with the Roman Empire. These men made a commitment. They made a commitment that was costly. But their gift was honored. One thing I love in this last verse, and it serves as an incredible example to me, it says they had a vision and a dream. Folks, their vision was to do the just thing. Are we led by a vision to do the just thing? We know these men were in the right. They might have been lost for a long time, but they found the Savior, and led after that by the Spirit in a vision, they knew the right thing. Have we had an encounter with the Savior so that we might have a vision to go forward? The story of the Magi isn't necessarily a Christmas story, is it? It's a long-lasting story. Didn't happen on the same night as the shepherds. Happened sometime after that. But like the proclamation of the shepherds, it shows us an example of where we need to be. Seeking, seeking. We need to be looking also for those who are seeking. We need to be willing to give. We need to understand that it is costly. And we need to be led by a vision. As a church, are we willing to make the sacrifices? You see, one thing that the scholars will tell us when it tells us in verse 12 that they went to their country in another way, many biblical scholars have a little trouble tracking how they would have went because the major road was right through Jerusalem. They were inconvenienced. Are we willing to be inconvenienced? Or are we just going to follow our preferences? You see, if they went through Jerusalem, Herod would have seen them coming back and he would have known. They found them. Are we willing to be inconvenienced? Are we led by a vision? Maybe today you don't know Jesus as your Lord. Maybe today you can't give a gift because you still haven't made Jesus the most important thing in your life. We're going to have a hymn of invitation, number 311. Today, I don't know where you're at. If you're a believer, I think that this message calls to you. Inconvenience yourself. Be willing to make the sacrifice. Be led by a vision. But if you haven't made Jesus your Lord, it shows you who the Lord is. Number 311, please stand. And however God's leading you, come as we sing.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask that you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.